Call this meeting to order for the Land and Natural Resources Cultural Preservation Committee. It is 6:30, May 10th, 2016. Ask Dale Beaver if you give us an invitation.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you for this beautiful day of goodness, Lord. I just want to ask you just to be with this right now, Lord. Be within our decision making, Lord. Give us the wisdom to make the best decisions for the tribe, Lord. And Lord, I want to thank you for just allowing us to come here tonight, Lord. And Lord, all these things we say in your heavenly name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Dale. Next, we have roll call by Gage.
Bill Proctor.
Here.
Mark Randolph.
Present.
Dale Beaver.
Here.
Thomas Yohola.
Here.
Mitch Jack. Chairman, I got 4 present, 1 absent.
We have 4 present and 1 absent. That constitutes a quorum, and any business transaction that will be valid. And next we have is approval of minutes for April 11, 2016. Give the committee a few minutes to go over that and ask for a motion.
Second page, PR16059, there's a 4 in favor, 0 against vote, but the votes show 3 in favor, 1 against.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll have that corrected. Any other comments or corrections to be seen? Motion was made to approve the minutes with any added changes by Thomas Yohola, seconded by Mark Randolph. Roll call vote.
Thomas Yohola?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Bill Beaver?
Yes.
Chairman got 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. The minutes have been approved. The next order of business is we have church and ceremonial grant applications in the Yawkin Ceremonial Ground. For $10,000, we have a grant application for that, and we have representatives from there. Thank you for being here. It's kind of just let us know what your application is for, and it says here it's for $10,000.
Yes.
Kind of let us know what you're going to be.
We were shut down about a year ago because every ground's got to have a Healy High, and we didn't manage to get a hold of him to approve for the year. So we had to shut down. Without a Healy High, you don't run the grounds. And so in that time, labs like that, we had some camps that kind of collapsed, and they're not really sturdy because we put them together. We had our ceremonial ground. We just have that week. A lot of other grounds that put them together all summer, winter long, and they can make them real sturdy. But we just got from that Sunday till Thursday to put them together, and they just kind of piece together sometimes just with what we got and what we can work with. And that's what we use. That we plan on fixing up some more equipment we got there. And I was working on the equipments we had we bought way back, you know. Basically just maintenance and keeping up. We got about 4 camps that we do need to work on, and for us getting estimates, we didn't have the time because we're not allowed at the ground until we get in our deal, because like I said, other grounds, they go in and out, but we don't do that. And that's just part of our ways. And we stick with what we had from way back.
Okay. Are there any questions?
Yeah, I make that motion to approve this grant for $10,000.
Motion to approve this grant for $10,000 by Thomas Yohola and seconded by Mark Randolph. Roll call.
Thomas Yohola?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Bill Beaver?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor and 0 against. That motion passes, and all this correct on here for your phone numbers? And
yeah, my phone number should be, yeah.
Okay. And,
getting home, I'm going to take my glasses off to see.
I did just update all his information.
Okay, so everything should be updated.
Okay, okay.
All right, thank you. Next item we have is TR16-071, a tribal resolution of Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a U.S. Department of the Interior of Indian Affairs business lease between the nation and Big Time Billboards, LLC, for the placement of a billboard on the nation's property utilized by the Tulsa Creek Indian community. Sponsors, Mark Randolph.
Motion to pass
by Mark Randolph. Seconded by Dale Beaver. And we're in discussion.
Oh, Mr. Gouch.
Okay. You guys come up here, please.
All right. You just want to tell us a little bit about what it is on the billboard and how it benefits the community.
We're working with Mr. Stokely on the putting the billboard at our community center, and we utilize those proceeds to maintain the building and use it for members for various activities. It's time to renew the lease. We had the discussions with Mr. Stokely, the Big Time Billboards, and we've been working with the these ladies here from the BIA Office of Realty. We've been talking to the AG's office. What's her name?
Joetta.
Been working with her. And we had a discussion with Mr. Stokely and came to an understanding and agreement. The lease has actually expired, but we're working under a good faith between us that he'll continue to pay until we get the lease approved through this process here.
Any questions?
Yes,
go ahead.
It's a 5-year lease.
Oh,
and you get the, how much does the community get? Is it $21,600?
$21,000?
You guys get $1,800 a month.
18, that's right.
20%,
$1,800 a month if we moved it to 20% instead of just a base rate.
So the community gets $1,800 a month for 5 years?
Yep. And that's a contingency upon another agreement after 5 years again.
There's no way to cut the middleman out?
We kind of discussed that a little bit, but if there's a way, I don't mind looking at that. We even looked at the community making its own business to do that, but we haven't had the opportunity to check with small business if we can work that out. But the community is willing to look at that, because we have another lease that's getting ready to expire, I think, in September.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Okay.
All right, go ahead.
What kind of sign is it? Is it LED sign, or is it just a regular
sign? It's a three turn something, like a triangle.
Kind of turns. And,
yep.
Yeah, okay.
So it does.
Do you have a say on what goes up on that sign?
No, we don't. We just get the 20% of revenue, whatever he's advertising.
So you go by there, and it could be Osage Casino on there, or
it could be anything.
Hard Rock?
We're just after the proceeds from where he advertises up there. And we went with the 20% because if his rates go up, ours go up. Our proceeds go up.
So we don't have anything to prevent them from putting up Osage or Hard Rock?
No, we're after whoever wants to pay the price so we can benefit from that.
Okay. Any other questions? Hearing none. Roll call vote.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Dale Beaver.
Yes.
Thomas Shahola.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor and 0 against. That motion passes.
Thank you.
All right, thank you for being here. Next item we have is NCA 16-073, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation approving the 2017 Indian Housing Plan. Sponsors, Mark Randolph.
Motion to pass.
Motion to pass by Mark Randolph.
Second.
Seconded by Dale Beaver. Any discussion?
Buck Chalk.
Okay, you can elaborate on what you have here.
It's a yearly plan.
that this is my first year being involved with this. I've heard about it and everything, but from what I can read, it's how we come up with funding and how we're going to assist citizens with housing, rental apartments for low income, homeless, almost homeless citizens. And that's pretty much the basics of it, but this sets the plan throughout the year, and we have goals in here that attest to that. There's, like, on page 27, we made a couple of changes. We had a number of units to be completed under this mutual help rehab. And we had 200 originally, and we kind of thought that was a little bit high, because we seemed like we, in the past, from what I've seen on the past plans, that those goals were a little shortcoming, so we dropped the amount of houses that we would probably get to do, so we dropped that out so we wouldn't be so out of whack with them. And then on page 31, we've got the housing service, resident services. And that was also a number of 200 households that we served. And that was a little high compared to what they had the last 3 or 4 years. So we almost get to that goal of 100. So we dropped it to 100. So we wouldn't be so, you know, if you say 200 and then you come up with 50, you know, it's gonna look out of whack. So we didn't want to be so far, have a big difference going on. So, but
any questions? Yes,
Mr. Buckrum. When you drop those numbers, from 200 to 100, does that affect the funding at all?
Not that I'm aware of, Pat. No, it doesn't. No.
So
we can make that 100, or we could go over that 100. No, as long as we try to meet our goals.
So the numbers that are put in here, how does that affect the 15 million?
Well, actually, it's just what on our budget, and it's just kind of like an estimate.
Just estimate.
And
yes.
That's what they, you know, Pat always wants us just kind of put an estimate in there. And then when we do our actual at the end of the year, we put our actual figures in there.
So if you meet the get to 100, you're not penalized?
No.
Have you increased anything in here?
Not from what I've saw and what the reports I've looked at in the past, they haven't. So that's why we backed off of these two particular items, just for that purpose. I didn't, you know, like I said, we don't get penalized for either one, but it just didn't look right to say 200 and then we come up with 75. Right? You know, it just, there's too much discrepancy there. I'd rather, if we made 120 and we set it at 100, then that's good, you know.
Right.
In my book, anyway.
Right.
It didn't look right about 200.
On new construction, I remember we had to do a budget mod, right?
Mm-hmm.
For new construction. So is that budget mod in this one also, the modification? We decreased the amount in new construction, and we increased in acquisition, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is that still the same?
As far as I know, it is. Yeah.
Is that it? Dale?
Yes, thank you. Go ahead, Thomas.
I'd like Pat to come up to the table here. And I know she's worked on this, and she could probably go through this.
She's a pro at it.
Well, that's why I asked her to come up, because she's more familiar. Mm-hmm. And she will, you know, go through here and let us know the changes, please.
Okay. Well, the only two changes is just what he mentioned, is where we kind of reduce our goals. And when we do our APR, we can, you know, show on there that we did meet our goals. That's why we kind of just reduced it. And those are the only two changes okay. that we did make.
And on these goals, you have the applicants and everything?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How many applicants do you have?
For for which program. We have several programs, so.
Okay, which did you talk about here?
On all the, well, the one was housing services, and that's like for counseling and what they do, like in when they bring, when they come in to get back or home.
Yes.
Home ownership or whatever, they counsel with them. And just if there's any additional information that they need, then they let them know that. And then like in housing management, they counsel with those people that come in to make payments.
Okay.
And stuff, so that when they come in, they counsel with them too.
Okay. That's what I want to hear.
And it's also, yeah, like the DIY things, you know, and the home ownership, the responsibilities of being a home ownership is all part of that too.
Well, when they're getting new homes or something, they do the home buyer ed where they, you know, they're new home buyers, so they kind of tell them what to expect.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Yes.
Right before they make their last payment on the house or whatever it's turned over to them, do y'all notify them, let them know that, you know, the insurance and taxes are going to be paid? It's still in there?
Yeah, they do that. Yeah, they bring them in and counsel with them towards the end and let them know that their payment is, you know, their house is getting ready to be paid off. And they can tell them that they're going to convey it, and then they tell them about the insurance and the taxes and, you know, all the things that the homeowner has to be aware of when they pay those homes off, because after they pay those homes off, that's their home, you know. And they have to be responsible for that.
You said a list of 100. How will that be prioritized? By elder, blood, family, or?
Usually we go with elders first and then large families. And most of them, some of them we just go with large families and just kind of go, but I think our main priority, our first priority is to help people that may lose their house in a fire or some kind of damage like that, and then they're kind of like priority. They kind of move to the top because of that.
There's a lot of elders that are assisted, but it seems like now that the younger 60s, this mid-60s, 50s and 40s and now 30s, it seems like there's a lot of them now anymore. There's elders too that get help, but it's like it's in that one age group there all the time, seems like. What I can say, the elders have already got all their houses and stuff like that. Now it's just we're going in and repairing their houses, and it's just, but like I said, that one age group there, that's a big swing right there.
Any other questions? What is the actual numbers that you have, like for this year? Do y'all have those on the ones you changed? Do you have any that you did have?
This year, we don't really have a count, but I think last year we were
200,
and I know it's less than, we had 200,
so
we kind of just went
with
100 just to round it off.
Yeah, just to get it closer.
Yeah, that's why we left it at 100, because we didn't make that, so we figured we'd be safe setting it at 100.
Okay. No more questions? Roll call vote.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Thomas Shaholo.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor and 0 against. That motion passes. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Next item we have is NCA 16-074, Law of the Muscogee Creek Nation, amending NCA 15-049, a Law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a special appropriation to the Muscogee Creek Nation Tribal Transit Program for the purchase of one 18-seat bus and one ADA-compatible minivan. The sponsor is Mark Randolph.
Motion to pass.
Motion for due pass by Mark Randolph.
Second.
Seconded by Dale Beaver. In discussion.
Call Kirk up, please. You see, it's an amendment. Right past them all out. No money.
The amendment on this one, it says other equipment. Describe other equipment.
Well, we recently wished to purchase a low boy trailer to haul our equipment around on, mm-hmm. but this would clarify for future purposes too. If we had some piece of equipment, a skid steer or a backhoe or dozer or anything, it would be able to use the state contract pricing on it. Whereas the previous bill restricted it to only vehicles.
So yeah, you're basically he's utilizing the state mm-hmm. contractor's buying cooperative to buy these equipment is
yes, sir.
Is entitled here. Okay. All right, thank you. Any questions? No questions. Roll call vote.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Thomas Shahola.
Yes.
Chairman, 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes.
Thank you.
Next item we have is NCA 16-075, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing an appropriation of funds to complete phase one of the restoration of Muscogee Creek Nation National Council House. And I do believe we have a substitute. I'm going to read the substitute. It's a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing an appropriation of funds for the restoration of Muscogee Creek Nation Council House. Sponsors Dale Beaver.
I'd like to make a motion to do pass the substitute.
Okay, motion's been made for do pass on substitute, seconded by Mark Randolph. And we're in discussion.
Chairman, I'd like to call up Mr. Asbill and his entourage to come up.
Well, we're back. Well, this council house bill's been come through the committee several times. We've gone back to the drawing board, so to speak, from a funding mechanism. Veronica's here, Mr. Ritchie's here with accounting firm Ide Bailey, and at this point, we've pretty much exhausted all the alternative funding sources, grants, CDBG grants. I think we put in for all those, and. Probably this is a very unique funding mechanism that we've identified that will net the Muscogee Creek Nation a little over $1 million back on the project. The project is a $3.7 million project. We can fund the entire project, which is obviously 3.5, with $2.575 million from the Muscogee Nation. Mr. Ritchie is here. If you want to ask any questions about the structure, but we will basically be capitalizing on historic tax credits, 20% from the state, 20% from the federal government. The council house is not only historic property, it's one of 22 historic landmarks in the state of Oklahoma, and it's on a higher threshold. This is basically a slam dunk. The architectural drawings are done. Phase one of the historic tax credits is already done because we're on the National Historic Register. Basically now we would go through, let the State Historic Preservation Office take a look at the drawings. They would approve those because we're putting the structure back the way it was in 1878. Most people that look at historic tax credits are not doing exactly what we're doing. We're doing exactly what the historic tax credits were meant to be funded for. This is probably the most unique funding mechanism that's probably come down in a long time here, but it's something that has allowed the city of Tulsa $300 million in reinvestment in downtown Tulsa. City of Omogi is also utilizing it. And Mr. Ritchie, if you want to comment on anything?
Yeah, this is the federal and the state government encouraging you all to do, to change the council house back the way it was, and so we're taking advantage of the tax laws. This is funded by the citizens of Oklahoma to reduce their tax bill, and their money goes into your renovation. So that the money's really coming from both the federal and the state government because of their historic tax credits.
Right.
What we bring is so we. the reason that this amount has changed is you have to complete this. If we did a three-quarter renovation, there's no tax credits. We need 100% renovation. You've got to get your Part 3 approval, and then we get 100% of the tax credits. So that's one of the reasons the amount was changed. By increasing your amount, we're going to bring you over $1 million in outside funding. You commit to a complete renovation, everybody wins.
Any comment?
We've pretty much explained it all. We, again, it has to go through the SHPO office or State Historic Preservation Office first, the application for it, then it goes up to the National Park Service. That's going to be a little bit of a delay as they process this application. Then the National Park Service issues the approval to receive those tax credits. And in order to get state tax credits, you have to have the approval from the National Park Service to do that. And so we are in part two of that, so we just have two more parts left to go through and do that. And we'll be working with the architects, if this is approved, to go through that application.
So. Yeah, the architects' drawings are basically complete. I think 99% complete. Those will... originally when we started this project, it was probably not on the radar for us as a group over there. As we've worked with a lot of outside entities, and we realized that this is going to be a slam dunk for us too. And
this is larger than any grant we could receive or write. We've looked at most of our granting options, and by far the biggest one is the ICDBG, and we're not going to apply for that this year. But this is $1 million rather than 800,000. So,
and the structure that we're creating will be the same structure we could actually utilize to fund part of the if we want to do some work on the country club, we can do the exact same structure. And actually, that there's the uniqueness of the structure that we can develop on the country club will actually probably fund the entire thing internally without the nation costing any money on that project. But we started with the budget crunch, not only with the Creek Nation, but outside entities is affecting our revenue stream as well. So we started thinking outside the box. How can we start getting involved with some of these unique funding structures? CDFI has new market tax credits. That's well known. These historic tax credits are starting to be well known. I think Mr. Ritchie worked on the natural gas. I think CNG. He got $1 million in tax credits through that. It's a very cutting edge way of funding projects. And I'll say that.
Okay. Any questions? Yes.
So, if we pass the $2.5 million tonight, then that's it? I mean, that's what you need for to get the project completed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
No more.
we would not come back. We would not come back to the council for a single penny. There's a built-in contingency in that amount. 7%, 1.5% is generally earmarked for the tarot tax. I mean, that's why they built that in. Mm-hmm. But we can get we'll be holding that contingency back, and hopefully we'll save even more money on the project, up to about $200,000.
We will be looking for funding though for the inside of the programmatic design.
For the inside is about $400,000, but we have an opportunity to pursue an NEH grant. It's $400,000. We'll have an excess of $100,000 on this project after we get the tax credit. If we can save enough money on the contingency and do things the right way, that's potential savings of $200,000. So that's $300,000 that we can potentially save on the project. And with the outside funding that we can receive through grants, we'll be able to get the project done. And we have 18 months. The building, the construction process is going to take about 18 months. It's actually probably going to be well in line with the grant processes. And we think that there'll be no need to come back to the council for additional money. At least I wouldn't be coming back. Probably getting my hair cut if I decide to do that.
Go ahead, Mark.
Ms. Booker, what's our funding source on this?
Yes, we'll find it from our capital improvement.
Out of what?
Capital improvement.
Thank you.
Oh, was that it, Mark?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Randall.
Sure. Mr. Adler, what's the time frame you're looking at? Once you get, if this goes through the council, what's the time frame you're looking from start to finish?
See, the construction, the physical construction, once they start, is about 18 months. It's going to take us probably about 8 to 10 weeks to get the State Historic Preservation Office to certify the plans. And do you have any time frame other than that?
No, I won't slow down the process. So, yeah, for as long as the construction takes, we're just part of that the whole time. We have the application.
We can start the application as we start construction as well, can't we? We just can't
absolutely
occupy the building for it to be eligible for the tax right. credit, so that can actually be going at the same time.
And we met with, and actually Judge Moore and I and Kellen Bible, was over our planning department, and Veronica, we actually went over physically and met with the State Historic Preservation Office ourselves and to get the ball rolling. Unfortunately, Harry Sims has been a long-term architect over there. He retired a few days ago, but we met with his successor, and they are very excited about this project, and I think it's really a slam dunk from a historic tax credit standpoint.
Sorry. One more question. Everything's in order right from start to finish as far as permits, everything you need, all that's accounted for in this amount. The reason I'm asking this question, for example, the project at Okemah.
True.
Started it and stopped because there was no permits. I mean, we've been building buildings for how long and we didn't know this, so that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, if you look on the the prioritized scope budget. You know, we have an excellent architectural group working on this project, and they have built-in permit fees, contingency, general conditions. All those things are built into the cost, and there will be no issues. You know, we've had some challenges with other projects. You know, a lot of those things had started prior to my being involved with some of these things. And, you know, I'm hoping that things are moving forward in a good way and that we don't go back and have to address issues like that ever again. So.
Thank
But that was after the proposed of the 1.873. So you're going to take that difference, what is it, another 500,000 off of that 2.6.
So the 1.8 is actually not reflected in the 2.5.
Right, the 1.8 is already reflected in that balance. So another 500,000-600,000 off of this 2 million.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment. You know, our forefathers, you know, set this for us. You know, they came from, you know, the Southeast, and they reestablished our government. And as a youngster, a few years ago, I went to their council meetings when they met up there up on the top floor. And at that time, you know, the tribal towns were there. And we had the chiefs there and then the council. And at that time, they all spoke the language, you know, entirely. And thinking about that, you know, now that was really an event to attend when the principal chief was there and then his council, and all the business was conducted in the language. And it'll probably, you know, never happen again, you know, with the tribal towns. But I did attend it, and I guess that's why I'm here. That got me interested in the government, because it's what our forefathers had set for us. So with that, you know, they set that for us, and I think it's up to us as descendants of those individuals, you know, to carry on what they have established for us. And that's why we're continuing, you know, today. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Yes.
I don't have a question, but I have a statement. I know the City of Omog is going to benefit off this also. I know they've got their, what is it called, something rising, Omog Rising. And I'm just saying this out loud because I'm thinking, I hope they remember us.
Sure.
I hope that our relationship is strengthened. And I, you know, in the future, I hope they remember us. Because we paid good money to get it, you know, and now we're paying good money to fix it. But
I agree.
I'm glad, and as long as we have the money, you know, and the people, as people don't suffer, then I'll support it. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Any other comment? Chief, you have any comment? No other comments? A roll call vote.
Del Beaver?
Yes.
Thomas Shahala?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Chairman Randolph, 3 in favor, 0 against.
Yes, ma'am. 3 in favor, 0 against. Motion passes will be forward to BF&J for funding sources. Next item we have is NCA 16-076, a law in the Tuscola Creek Nation authorizing a donation to United Tribes for Christ Fellowship. The sponsor is David Hill. He's here.
Motion due pass.
Have a motion for due pass from Mark Randolph. Seconded by Dale Beaver. We're in discussion.
Thank you, committee. Well, I have here Miss Nancy Gold, and they're expecting to have more this year. There's change of location.
It's going to be Henrietta.
And expecting a lot more Creek citizens to attend this year. But I'll let her kind of go over everything.
Our camp meeting, year of the camp meeting, is May 31st through June 4th. We provide all the meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We provide the motel rooms for our guests. We have many people coming just because they want to attend. They feel like there's something in that's happening here in Oklahoma, and so they want to be a part of the spiritual awakening, I guess you could call it. But we have been given the use of a sanctuary for free, the kitchen facilities, a cabin for our president to stay in, and also a place for our vacation Bible school. We have children that I think we probably have increased our children to about 40 kids in the past year. Our church is really growing and at New Hope, but the facility, the kitchen facility, really needs to be we have to fix it up. It every time it rains, it floods. So we've lost many stoves, many refrigerators, and things like that. So, but this the pastor at New Beginnings Baptist Church was willing to let us use his church for this year's camp meeting.
Have any questions? Go ahead.
Is that church located just off what's on Highway North? We woke up going north up towards
New
Conway? Yes.
Yes, it's Highway 57. TJ Fixico used to be there, and then we took over about 3 years ago. But it's been open since then. It's seen many pastors go through. Right now, my brother Larry Harrison is the pastor. He's been there for 3.5 years. And we're seeing a real growth there.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions? No questions. Is this part of the Creek Nation's boundaries? Or?
Yes.
Okay. And this is. I was just looking at the total amount that you have for your budget is $14,000, and you're asking for $7,000. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you do know that the donation, you're eligible for five, and asking for seven, and it requires a two-thirds vote. But not tonight, but I mean, if it passes tonight, it would be in the... Anyway, I'll just let you know that.
All right. Okay, thank you.
No questions? Roll call vote.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Del Beaver?
Yes.
Thomas Chihola?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against, that motion passes.
Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Next item we have, I'm going to relinquish chair to Mark Randolph.
NCA 16077, law of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizes special appropriation to Relika United Methodist Fellowship. Sponsor is Darrell Proctor.
Motion for a due pass.
Motion due pass by Mr. Proctor. Okay. Second by Mr. Beaver. Discussion.
Yeah, this church has been formed. We don't have the pastor here tonight. I believe he is out on travel, I believe. But this one has just been established. They're not part of our grant. They're not eligible for the grant. So they're asking for a special appropriation to help with to get a lawnmower for the church. And this church has been established here recently within the last 6 months. And the pastor is David Benson. And they are getting active in the community, opening the doors to everyone there. They just had some Mother's Day events, and they have upcoming events also. And they do have their congregation that is listed here. It is more than 80% Creek. We have a list here also. But they are just asking for a appropriation for the lawnmower.
Any questions? Any more discussion? Buy any questions?
Sure. So are they able to get the $5,000 grant? And this is just a waiver for that because it's over, or is this just a special appropriation?
This is a special appropriation because they're not.
Their church versus the organization that United Tribes for Fellowship, that's an organization.
But they're not eligible for the grant at all, are they? I mean, since
they're new?
Yes.
Church.
Right.
Okay.
They're not over 50 years old.
Not over 50.
I
thought they were 50 or 80%.
Yeah.
Type of request that they're asking for the grant programs for. Renovating, new construction, that type of thing. The church is not about the lawnmowers.
I think Thomas had a question. Mark.
Mr. Chihola, did you have a question?
I was looking at this membership here, and I see a couple of names I thought were Baptists. And I know who they are. I'm not going to mention any names. And Buddy knows them too. Now, unless they changed over, so, but I haven't asked them. I don't ask them that kind of question. So, I guess wherever they're led.
That all but you hope?
That's it.
Okay, if there's no more discussion, roll call vote, please.
Darrell Proctor?
Yes.
Thomas Chihola?
Yes.
Del Beaver?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 3 in favor, 0 against.
Yes, we refer to BF and J for funding. Thank you. I'll refer the chair back to Mr. Proctor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Randolph.
Yes.
NCA 16-076 would be referred to BF&J for the funding source there also. Okay. Next item is NCA 16-078, a law of Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to Dog Soldiers for Jesus Christ. Sponsor is Dale Beaver.
Chairman, make a motion to do pass.
I have a motion for a due pass by Dale Beaver.
Second.
Seconded by Mark Randall. We're in discussion.
Chairman, what this is for, Mr. Taylor is supposed to be here tonight. I just talked to him earlier today. I don't know where he's at. Danny, do you know where he's at? But what it is a van, passenger van, was donated to Dog Soldiers of Jesus Christ. And we came before the council 2 years ago, I think, somewhere around there. What we found out is this Dog Soldier is actually a entity on itself. We're not affiliated with the church. We're with New Beginnings, but it's not, it's not, the church isn't over Dog Soldier of Jesus Christ. It's a standalone entity. And so you can see that if you look at the legislation, the cost for it is, to redo everything, it's about $14,000, somewhere around there. And so Mr. Taylor is asking for the $5,000 limit for a donation to a nonprofit organization. And they don't have their 501c3. They're applying for it. Oh, yes.
We do have it.
Do we have the paperwork for it? But the only thing that Lucas had was the state of Oklahoma, their certification.
Oh, no, that's what we have. We do have that. But they are in the process of getting the 501c3.
So he's in the process of getting that, but we are, the state of Oklahoma, we're certified nonprofit. I say we, Dog Soldiers, is a certified nonprofit.
Okay.
I can try to answer any questions that council may
have. You don't have any questions? No questions? Roll call vote.
Dale Beaver?
Yes.
Thomas Shahola?
Yes.
Mark Randall?
Yes.
Chairman, at 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor and 0 against, that motion passes and be forwarded to BF&J for a funding source. All right, now we're in another business. And Martin Wynn with Environmental Services. Did he leave?
Not there.
Pretty
low.
He had called and he was going to just a discussion, and he's going to have a presentation he wants us to see. Do you have a...
Yeah, I can look it up. Just give me 5 minutes.
Okay. All right, we can do that.
It'll be interesting. Thank you.
You can introduce who you are and what you do in your projects. And, is your laptop?
Yeah, it's mine.
Or right here. You can put that right here.
Oh,
wait, don't do it?
Okay.
What?
I have to get in your light. It's all right.
You're in the way.
Some ladies that were here.
funds than we had requested. Committee to see that that where people had come to and they did not get through.
They made it to the boundaries.
They couldn't prove that 80% membership. And they were out of our boundaries. So when I asked them about the boundaries, I was from the preacher. First.
How's it going, brother? I'm good.
He asked me to be here. Okay.
Mark, you want a water?
As a groundwater hydrologist, I've been here since 2012, and these are the projects I work on. I've been working on, and it's studying the groundwater aquifers that occupy our jurisdiction. So I'll just get into it. We'll go through it real quick. Outlined using GIS, we can see these major aquifers as defined by OWRB, Arkansas, the North Canadian, South Canadian, and the Atavamusa. Along here in Creek County and Okleski, we've got a lot of citizens, a lot of clusters living on rural water wells. And it's the same with down here close to Eufaula. But so when I came in here, I seen this information previously done by Oklahoma Geological and USGS, and so I want to expand on studying them and making the data better for our benefit. So they brought me on with a $50,000 grant from BIA, and part of that went to my salary, part of it went to supplies. 2014 and 15, I applied again, and they awarded $65,000. 2015, they awarded $87,000, and it's been the same since, you know, partially salary, partially equipment, and I've just been building on and defining the objective. As you can see here, it was the aid of Amusa and Canadian, but that was too huge of a project. Down here, I just wanted to focus on the aid of Amusa, which is in Creek County, because we've already got a wells established that we can work with, and we was able to install a monitoring home. And that's what we have here. We had some citizens that were able to say, hey, we got land available, go ahead and install a monitoring well, you know, do some studies, because they had issues with salinity and some other things. So what I first did back in 2014 was, like, they came up, you know, the tribe came up to me with, hey, these guys got high salinity in the water, what can we do? You know, can we drill another well? Where can we drill it? And so that was the task I took on. Those are the original wells at 120 feet. They both did, and they were, you know, kind of getting stomach problems. So I did my research and found out these in this area right here, that's where their location is. Previous investigations, they have unconfined, what they call unconfined and confined layers of sandstone saturation, which is just pretty much those aquifers. And the upper, shallower confined is around where they were pulling at 120, but they've got lower confined layers at around 150 foot of thickness. So my theory was that lower confined layer was cleaner water. That's just a schematic of it. And so this is where I theorized they should be going. They drilled it, and it turned out to be correct. So there's some type of infiltration of salt water coming from above, getting into this water table. It won't reach this table because it's got that confined layer. So consultation is part of what I do. You know, people that bid out for drillers, you know, they contact me and say, hey, what do you think of this and that? Okfuski Community Well, the Garden Well, that's one of the projects I work on. Okay, so what I do is just basically get data, develop these two- and three-dimensional groundwater aquifer models, and it's pretty much what you've seen on that image, except a lot of data, a lot of information on there. Let's see. So what I've been working on, if I can pull this up real quick, is this program called ModFlow, and this is pretty much the two-dimensional model here. Visualized, but in later terms, it's going to be fully conceptualized with raw live data. Let's see if I can. So, you know, you can move it around and look at it. That's actually aid of Amusa. This spans Creek County and Okfuski County in the south, like that lady's wells, like way up here somewhere, and you have Deep Fork. So that's our area, and I've chopped it out to just focus on that. And whenever we get more data in, we're going to have a third axis going down to where you see these changes in water levels, you'll see these geologic changes, you'll see that salty layer. I'll show you an example for later on. But if you want to see the Back here. This is the same layer, but this is actually people's groundwater wells, not just Creek Nation, but the whole area, and it's cropped out. So you can see where I'm going with this. Anyways. The project I'm working on now, I want to get to, is that Hannah Farm. The Bureau of Reclamation awarded about $30,000 to do this right now. And it's a continuation of a 2015 project where they looked at the Hannah Farm and the Dustin Ranch, which, you know, is run by Interior Affairs, I think. But they need water. That, those cattle, a lot of them are dying from bacterial infected ponds. This is the ranch. They don't have any access to groundwater because they're in a location where it's like 300 foot into like shallow, salty water. Like here's the nearest the well. That's at 300 feet and it gets like 4 gallons a minute. So we're trying to figure out how to get them water. They're too far from town and cost too much to bring a line in. This is the Hannah Farm. They're in the same boat, kind of. Both of the workers at both areas, they don't have clean drinking water. They have to haul it in and stuff. So I seen an issue, and I read from that report that they put out last year, and I applied for the same grant again, except I wanted to build on it and start using my geological knowledge or whatever that I do anyways as a chance to go down there and do some pumping tests, and which is another problem that sort of my work can solve, you know. So that's what we're going to do now with this grant money, is to install a high production irrigation well, do a pumping test with observation wells nearby, 24 hours, pump it out, and then we'll look at how those observation wells, the water level in those drop. Based on the current data and the groundwater wells, local data, you know, look up all that data, figure out, is there really water in that area? And you see these are all the wells. Right here is the Hannah Farm, and right here is that Canadian River sitting right on major aquifer alluvium, and that's what the data shows: alluvium, sand, sandstone, shell. As you get further away from the river, this is that alluvium outcropped in red, and then the Canadian River, and then this terrace out here in the green. So this is the Hannah Farm area. So they're sitting on nice chunks of water, but they don't. All these wells that you see here, they're just low production, like 5 gallon a minute. They're not made to irrigate. So I want to go in there and try to install an irrigation well and see what it does. This is just sort of the data that I compiled to figure out if it's feasible to even go in there and put an irrigation well. Let me get to these. Okay, these two right here are irrigation well number one, constructed down here back in 67. It's pretty far from the farm, you see, but it's right there in that alluvium like I was talking about. And that's yielding 400 gallons a minute. Okay, number two, back in 67, that's way over here, close to that river. That's yielding 500 gallons in that irrigation well. Those are the only two irrigation wells in that area. The rest of them are just domestic, so forth. So the project right now I'm working on is to install those observation wells and then that high production steel production wells, my irrigation. Pump that for 24 hours. And then observe the drawdown or the water levels in there. We'll go through all that and you input that into these flow models. and it spits out these formulations that like you see here, which is basically what you call aquifer parameters: storativity, specific yield, hydraulic conductivity. After you get all that data from that pumping test, we then put it back into those three and two-dimensional groundwater flow models that I was showing you that you can move around. So what does that exactly do? Well, number one, by doing this test, we can see how much annual yield we can pump from that groundwater. If it can sustain, you know, 300, 500, or even 1,000 gallon a minute, based on what pump size we have. Let me go back to the aerial image. And this location in that alluvium, right near the groundwater, the river water, I theorize lots of water we're gonna get. We could get 1,000 gallon a minute well, but what we're going to start out with is an 8-inch well, and doing about 350 for now, and see how the groundwater responds. So that's a project that's going to take, we're going to take off this summer, and it's going to last until December of 2017. Huge project, very difficult. We're hoping to get the pumping test done this summer, but what had happened was, whenever I set out the budget, I thought we could have the observation wells drilled, but we can't, because the drill that we had is too small, and it costs too much to repair. I think housing owns it or something, and then the way it drills is air compressed only, and it's not fit to do that because it'll just cave in after a while. So we have to have that driller that's going to do the irrigation well, do those observation wells as well. And he was wanting to charge $3,000 each for him, for a total of $6,000 to do the observation wells. And then now we have money to do in this grant money here that we have, that the Bureau of Breaks is going to provide, $9,600 to do the steel cased pumping well. But I was hoping to bring this to you guys because I'm short for the observation wells for $6,000. I think I can work with Interior and get this the 25 horsepower pump for the pumping test. But all this is the grant money, and then $10,000 is they're actually bringing in USGS scientists to help with this study, year and a half study. But I kind of want to bring it to you guys, see what you think. If you'd be willing to help with the project, you know, that'd be great. But part of the deliverables would be the high production well deer irrigation, possibility of getting another high production well installed to provide water to the ranch up there for the cattle, and these working groundwater flow models that, when you start talking about groundwater regulations and so forth, this is your hard data that will say, hey, we own this water, you know, this is how our groundwater works. If you get any type of contamination from upstream or anywhere else, we're able to use this data to determine things like that. So, let's see, I think that's it for that.
And then the basically what you're looking at is getting some irrigation type wells there for the farm, and even for their
for the ranch
vegetation and all that too. Also.
also. Yeah. Would they be able to, like they have watermelons here every year, mm-hmm. would be able to use for that? Because I know we had talked about that before. I've been down there and they've always talked about drilling a well mm-hmm. in the past 4 or 5 years. Is this something that could be utilized for that?
Yeah, right? Absolutely. If they want to expand down there like they want to, right now they're doing more soy and wheat or something,
yeah.
But they want to convert land over to more melons and things that are more profitable. And they also want to, they think they got grant money right now to do like a 5,000 square foot greenhouse mm-hmm. to start getting whatever crops year round. So definitely with that greenhouse, they're going to need the water. But it's just taking steps to really utilize our groundwater resources, like I showed you in the major aquifers. If we've got land on an area, you know, we need to start getting hard scientific data that says, hey, we own this, you know, in case state tries to come by and pulls out more than they should. You know, we have this hard data to be our stronghold. If there's any sense of contamination with this, or even the residential wells, like the other project I'm working on, you know, it's just extremely useful. And then not just me, but the USGS themselves will come down and sort of make sure I'm doing things right. So, and of course they work with tribes all over. I'm sure you've heard with aquifer studies like the Caddo, Pawnee. So it's just, I think it's really exciting because I don't think Creek Nation has ever did any aquifer studies like this.
Mm-hmm. Anybody have any questions? Do you have a timeline, Martin? I mean, is there a certain time you need the need that money, or
just this summer? It's going to take a while to do state regulations to start on the well itself. There's some forms and some paperwork on that. And then you have to get the drillers and all that, and then the equipment. So it all has to be, and then the USGS guys together. We're supposed to meet this month sometime. I don't plan on doing the actual drill until probably July, August. But, yeah.
So we have some time to get a bill drawn up.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
And sounds like you're doing some good work.
And if you know,
like
if you,
heck for me.
Yeah, if you want me to come back and reiterate or get detailed more on any of that stuff, like I skipped through tons, but it's very difficult, and you know, it gets more detailed and better. And once I start talking with those other scientists, it's gonna be great, and then. Yeah.
Have you ever seen the Cherokee Gardens
mm-hmm.
and their greenhouses?
Mm-hmm.
It is unbelievable. And they got them all over the place, and they are just huge and packed. So they just grow. They've utilized their land a lot. They're the hugest, big old greenhouse I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And they're full.
Mm-hmm.
This side, this side, I've seen three different places where they have one and looked at them. They're making money off of it, you know.
Yeah, and not only that, but something that size they were talking about will actually bring in workers to man that thing. Because you talk about hard work, I can only imagine having to do that. That's day to day. So
mm-hmm.
it should bring in jobs even having that.
Well, I've worked with Martin for 4 years, and anytime we had a problem, anytime we got a phone call, when water well was bad, I just put Martin on it. And as you can tell, Martin knows his stuff about water well. He loves water wells, and he can talk your ear off about water wells. So I just told him sometimes, Martin, just tell me, is it good water, bad water? What do we got to do to get our citizens some good water? So. So that's what Martin, he's done ever since he's been here, so he knows what he's talking about.
Thomas? So what do we need to do to try to get funding for what he's kind of asking for? Do we need to get with Chris on this? Or?
Yes, I think he's the head of that division, mm-hmm. and he's over there in the farm, so mm-hmm. I'll be worked out some master plan, I guess you might say.
Yeah. Have you spoken with anybody about this besides us?
Well, Chris knows about it,
okay.
and okay. I don't think he was aware of the observation wells, those two for 6,000 and whatever, but I know he knows about the high production pump that will have to go for this dedicated irrigation well. Okay. So those two things aren't in the grant, but definitely going to need them. And then, but I'll definitely talk with him and see what he thinks, and appreciate you guys' help. You know.
Thank you. Okay. Appreciate it.
All right.
Now we're down to announcements. Any announcements?
I have something real quick. I'm not going to keep this, but I'll just ask that you gentlemen look this over. Gacy and I was looking at the trying to prepare an application for this new bill for the camp houses for Fellowship Falls. And what I did was we just put some stuff together. And the second and third page is pretty much just the bill. Trying to make it clear as possible so nobody will be confused or nobody will read anything into it. So we got a little bit for it until the chief signs the bill. So if you have any recommendations, if you have anything we need to leave out or add. No, he didn't. So he signed it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we just got to get an application together. And we've heard all kinds of scenarios. I mean, Mr. Proctor called me, the day before or something, and somebody started saying, well, what if this happened? What if this happened? What if this happened? What if this happened? You know? We're like, yeah, I'll be on our committee. Go ahead, Mr. Hull.
Yeah, I was going to, bring this up for discussion, but I'm glad you brought this up. Now, I've gotten calls on how this is going to be implemented. And I'll go back to the original letter, that we got, that there was an existing camp that was being occupied by an active member of that church for repairs to the, camp. So that's what I've been saying, is that that was the intent of this legislation, was to help that individual, but at that time we didn't have any guidelines or any way to, fund that program. And so I just wanted to make sure that I'm on the same page as everybody else on what it takes to be, qualified. Now, and I've been to some churches where some of the camp houses are just down to the ground and, mm-hmm. And nobody, there's no active member that's there. And so, maybe they want to get this and just bail one or whatever, just to have one,
sure.
But not be active, but just for the sake of having one. So that's some of the questions I've been asked, but I'll just tell them that I'll just go back to the original letter that we had a request for, then we had to, the committee or the council has to develop something. So I guess that's my question.
Well, one of the things that we have, I listed this because it shows you, qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we asked for was a statement from the MECO or from the pastor. If there's no pastor, then they're deacon. And, what we want, because when we were saying active at first, and everything was, what's active mean? What do you mean by active, And some people consider this active, but some people don't consider it. And so it just put us in a spin, So I'm wondering, like I, what I want you, what I was thinking about this is if y'all will look at it and think, what do we need to include in that application so people will understand it clearly? That's my thoughts. I mean, and do we want, are they going to come before the committee, you know, or were we going to do it like the heating we did and, you know, checks were just made out to the vendor, you know? Mm-hmm. And one thing I did include in here, that checks will be made to a vendor. You know, it's not like someone's going to come in and we're just going to issue a check to some individual. You know, they'll have their itemized budget of what they need as far as, you know, wood or whatever it might be. And then we make the money to the vendor, you know, the check out to the vendor. Because it is, there's a lot of questions. People, you know, ask a lot of questions. But we did put in here, it says the structure of the camps, you know, includes floors, roofs, walls, windows, doors, or any electric, water, heating, or air problems. And finance, you know, it's not provided for appliances, stoves, refrigerators, ice makers, furniture like tables, chairs, you know, etc. So I'm just thinking how you guys want the application to look, how much we should include, and all that.
Well, this is with the grant program because it's, you know, within that law. So I would think that
you have to come
as a church, you know, coming here.
Okay.
Because it's coming out of that same money and it's part of the grant program. It's okay. Just specifically for camp houses or camps, okay. Fellowship houses.
All right.
Also, I'm going to ask, what if they have more than one camp?
Well, see, this,
like, at grounds, camp. They might have a camp at one ground and one at another ground.
That's what Mr. Proctor, I was speaking that.
That's what I've been asked.
If you look at the recommendations, that's something that...
Well, I don't know.
Skokie Creek Nation citizens who are members of more than one ceremonial ground or church are allowed to use this program only once at the ground or church of their choice.
Okay.
Any double dipping or fraudulent action will be grounds to involve the Attorney General for an investigation and consequences. And see, I don't know if that's too strong of wording or, you know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what we're going to run into.
Yeah, something else I'm going to add too. You know, sometimes, for some reasons, people move their membership, you know, to another church for whatever reason. And then if they leave and go somewhere, then, you know, there's a camp house there. Then people will ask, well, who does the camp belong to? Then if they abandon it or leave it, then it belongs to the church. You know, that's the older way that they... you know, that's just the common law, I guess you might say, is that if they leave it, then it belongs to the, then it belongs to the church, and whoever wants to occupy it will, you know, ask for it. So there are some things that just like, you know, common law, I guess you might say, that's existed, you know, for, you know, years and years. So I've been asked that question too. That I had to ask some of the older ones, you know, how do you handle a situation when a member leaves their camp house, and then I was told that it belongs to the church after that. Not to this day, but it belongs to the church.
That's all I have. I just, but we need help, so tell us what you think, you know.
Is there a day when you want these recommendations?
Well, yeah, just as soon as we can. Because I know Gacy's already been getting calls and they're saying, where's the applications?
So I've just been taking addresses and names, saying I'll mail them out whenever they're available.
See, that's the reason too why I listed on here how to apply. You know, you can call in to Gacy and ask her to send it by mail or download it off the our website. Or the person that's going to be the authorized representative, that they come in and ask in person, because we're already hearing that, oh, well, so-and-so representative you know, they have like 25 people on the list that they're going to come in as soon as this is passed. And, mm-hmm. you know, because it said first come, first serve, they think that means as soon as we get our, you know, if we don't hurry up and get our name in there, you know. And so we didn't really do this bill to, for somebody to try to get votes. I don't think it's, you know, to assist people, you know, assist the people that, because there's, you know, some places really need some money. And so I tried to, under the recommendations, these are some of the things I was hearing, and I was trying to think, how can we put that into application to make it to where they couldn't do these things? It's kind of terrible.
My idea is, I guess.
That's all I have. Thank you. Any other comments? All right. So yeah, we'll look into this and we'll try to get back with you, and, you know, and more recommendations. If you have any, just, you know, email it to Mark and we can discuss this more. Yeah, because there is a lot of questions out there, and they're talking about, okay, once you get to 25, the next year, it's going to be, you know, if you had 40 that apply or 50, does that second 25 immediately go to the first one?
Right.
So. It's just a lot of stuff like that. Yeah, 25.
Wait till October.
But it's mm-hmm. also up to a certain amount. So each
yeah.
25 may not need 7,000.
So that's something we just have to look at and discuss. Alrighty. Thank you for all that. Okay, we're down to our benediction, and I'll ask Mark Randolph, would you do that, and he'll serve as our adjournment.
Father, we're thankful for another day. Thankful for your many blessings, Father, for your love and mercy, your forgiving ways, Lord, and your mighty blessings that you give us. Ask that you would clear our minds and touch us in our heart. Goodness, Lord, bless my body and soul.